Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. It's good to have your company once more. Union with Christ, two more short talks from Clive Boucher. And the church leader as shepherd, Ian Flanders talks to Adrian Reynolds. Recently, here on Serving Today, we've been looking at different passages in the Gospel of John. We're learning what these teach about the theme of union or oneness with Christ. Our guest, Clive Boucher, is helping us to get a better understanding of this wonderful subject. To begin with, Clive briefly reminds us what we've thought about so far.
Well, we've thought, haven't we, about how the relationship of love between the Father and the Son since before anything was made, how that relationship is foundational. And wonderfully, we've heard that we're invited in to share that perfect divine love. To do that is to experience true life, and that life comes from the Son. And we've seen as well that the Father wants and wills people to say yes to this life with Jesus. In fact, when people do that, it delights him.
Thanks very much, Clive. What verses are you going to focus on this time, and under what title?
So the title is This Love is Life. And this is based on John chapter 6 again, verses 54 to 57.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me.
In this whole section from verse 51 to verse 58, you can see that Jesus' main theme is life. And did you notice the close similarity between verses 54 and 56? Jesus is saying here that eternal life, verse 54, is the same as that permanent relationship that's described by the words you in me and I in you. That's verse 56. This saying captures in just a few words intimate friendship and fellowship with Christ. This relationship is life now and to come. Jesus in us and us in him. In verse 57, Jesus goes on to explain what he means. His relationship of love with the Father, when you think about it, is what his life, identity, and purpose are all about. And in the same way, our love relationship with the Son is what our life is all about. We'll see more in a future talk what Jesus means when he says to believers, you are in me and I in you.
Clive, could you say a bit more about what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verses 54 and 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood?
Well, I think we mentioned in a previous talk, when Jesus is talking about his flesh and his blood, he's talking about his sacrificial death for us. And it's important here to remember that Jesus is saying this before the Last Supper. So he's not talking about communion, he's not talking about the act of taking the Lord's Supper, but he is talking about the realities that the Lord's Supper portrays. And so when he talks about the person who eats his flesh and drinks his blood, he's talking about the person who trusts Jesus' sacrificial death in order to have life.
Thanks for explaining that to us again. But what's so significant about all this?
Well, theologians call this relationship, I in you and you in me, union with Christ. And it sounds a little bit technical, doesn't it? But actually, it's all just about shared closeness and intimacy and love with Christ in a two-way relationship. You might be familiar with the wonderful truth that we're put right with God or justified only through believing trust in the person of Christ. Even more, John chapter 6 tells us, verses 40, 54 and 56 that we've looked at, that we are permanently alive and in loving, intimate relationship or oneness with Jesus Christ through believing trust in him. He is the source of life and nothing more is needed.
Well, let's stay with the theme of union with Christ as Clive Boucher introduces the next of these short talks.
We're going to be thinking about knowing me, knowing you, and the longer passage is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. But for now, let's just read verses 14 and 15 there.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
John has taught us that we already possess true life, the thing that characterises the age to come, when we are in loving, close relationship with Jesus the Son. Deep relationships involve deep knowledge and experience of one another, don't they? And astoundingly, Jesus says that the believer's relationship with him is like his own relationship with the Father. We just heard that in verses 14 and 15. And that's a theme we've touched on already in our first talk.
Clive, this talk is called Knowing Me, Knowing You, and that's very appropriate because the Apostle John uses the word to know or words like knowledge quite a lot, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely. So a key example of that would be in John 17, verse 3. I think we've already mentioned that. And in John's first epistle as well, the knowledge of God comes up a lot. When you think about it, the Son and the Father have known each other in love since before the foundation of the world. And that's the knowledge that verse 15 is referencing. And in the same way, our relationship with the Son is one of deep mutual knowledge and experience, verse 14. A relationship that we've begun now and will spend eternity exploring. Jesus came into this world for you from the heart of the Father, from the bosom of the Father, so that you can enjoy that deep fellowship with him, that relationship that is life. He came so that you may have life and have it abundantly, verse 10 says. And that life is knowing him. The word abundantly there could be translated to an extraordinary extent. And to give you that sort of life and love, he gave his life away for you on the cross, verse 15. Wonderfully, Jesus knows us personally and calls each of us individually by name, verse 3. He leads us and speaks so that we recognise his voice and follow, verse 4. And he is leading us into his glorious presence for sure.
Here's verse 4 of John chapter 10. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice.
Close, intimate relationship where he knows us and we know him.
We now return to the subject of biblical leadership. We've just been thinking about Jesus as our shepherd and the close relationship between him and his followers. Well, last time Adrian Reynolds introduced us to Paul's use of the word shepherd to describe the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He drew some parallels between the pastor as shepherd and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. Today we look further at this, and as Ian Flanders talks with Adrian Reynolds, he's going to begin with a question.
Can we think now about some of the things a shepherd needs to do for his sheep?
Certainly, let's do that. First of all, of course, he needs to feed them. He feeds them by giving them the bread of life, which is the word of God. Sheep that are not fed are hungry, and sheep that are hungry get diseases and eventually die. They need to be kept alive. If we are going to be good shepherds, we have to make sure we give our sheep proper food. We have to lead them to the food, which means we have to be looking after ourselves too. If a shepherd is weak and sick, he cannot lead his sheep to the good grass and water. So the sheep die as well. It's the same with us. We have to take care of ourselves so that our sheep will be all right. So we need to feed ourselves as well as feeding our sheep. That's why I urge you to keep reading your Bibles, to keep studying, to keep praying. That's why you need to listen to good teaching, wherever you can find it.
So then, if the first job of a shepherd is to feed his sheep or teach his people, what's the second?
Well, a shepherd also cares for his sheep. He is very loving and tender towards them. The fact of the matter is sheep can be stupid, but that does not matter to the shepherd. He's patient with them. After all, this is what God is like with us. Perhaps, Ian, you could read for me Isaiah 40, verse 11.
This is what Isaiah says. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
It's a wonderful picture of a shepherd caring, but there are also times when he must be firm. It's not all about being soft. Sheep sometimes need a firm hand. So listen to God again in Ezekiel 34, verse 16. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Now that does not mean we have to be brutal. It does not mean we have to be unkind. But sometimes we have to be tough.
Can you give us an example of an occasion where we need to be firm?
Yes, of course. Imagine someone is doing something they ought not to be. We need to tell them. It's for their own good. It's for the good of the flock as well. We need to do it carefully and gently, but we must tell them. We cannot pretend it doesn't matter. If we do, we are not good shepherds.
So then good shepherds look after their sheep, but are there any other jobs a shepherd would do that we can compare to being church leaders?
Yes, there is one more. Good shepherds also go out looking for the lost sheep. In other words, good shepherds are evangelists. Back in that verse in Ezekiel that I just read, God tells us that he will search for his sheep. And so we, as assistant shepherds, under-shepherds, must too. This is what it means to be a shepherd. Now, that is not an easy task, but it's a great task. So are you prepared to be a shepherd for Jesus Christ?
Now, last time, Adrian, you mentioned that you were going to end each discussion with some questions for us to reflect upon. Is that the case today?
It is. Here they are. First of all, as shepherds, we need to look after the sheep God has given us. And we need to find lost sheep. The question is this: how can we do both and do both well? The second question is this. It's a question about motives, really. Why do we serve Jesus Christ? What might some of the wrong reasons, the wrong motives be? And what should be the right motives? And then the third question is a very practical one, which is simply this. How can I care for the sheep God has given me?
And with those searching questions, we come to the end of this edition of Serving Today, which we hope you found helpful. Do get in touch with us if there are any comments or questions about what we've been learning together. The contact details follow in just a moment. So for now, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May we be worthy servants of the great shepherd of the sheep. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.